read some familiar scripture tonight. If you'd like to be turning with me, we're going to go to the book of John, the 11th chapter. And we'll be starting in verse number 1. St. John, the 11th chapter. Would you bow your heads with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do appreciate this privilege to be here this evening. I thank you, Lord, for the wonderful anointing that I felt. I thank you for the worship service. I ask, Lord, as it comes this time, Lord, that we minister to this body of believers tonight, God. Lord, I ask that you anoint my mind. Lord, anoint my tongue. God, let me speak the words, Lord, that you would have me. Lord, I ask that we can open our hearts tonight that we might receive of this word and plant it in the heart. And in the name of Jesus, devil, we rebuke you that you do not steal, kill, or destroy this word. And the church says, we're going to start in verse number 1. If you're able, would you stand for the reading of the word of God? Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary, which anointed the Lord with ointment, and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. And the church says, amen. You may be seated. I believe that sometimes when we have a lot of sickness and a lot of discouragement, a lot of trials and a lot of tribulations and heartaches that takes place in our life, sometimes we feel so isolated. And we feel sometimes we take it so personal. And even to the point that sometimes we begin to wonder, Lord, where are you? Do you still love me like you used to? Here, they come to Jesus, and they said, Jesus, you're the one that you love us. He must have been close to Lazarus. This is not recorded except a couple of times in the Bible. John, that wrote the book of John, called himself the beloved, or the one that Christ loved. He called himself special. But this was somebody that the Lord was close to, and they come and said, Lazarus is sick. And Jesus just went about what he was doing for 2 whole days. Just did not respond a bit. And sometimes we want God to move exactly when we pray. We expect an answer. And when we don't begin to receive the answer, we begin to see actually the situation begins to get worse and get worse and get worse and get worse. Sometimes we begin to lose faith. Sometimes even doubt begins to creep upon us. And so, as the Lord was tarrying there, he told his disciples, he said, now it's time to go. About that time, they said, Lazarus, he told him, he said, Lazarus is dead or asleep. Can you imagine how many people that we know right now, that you know, that have promises out of the Word of God and promises of God in their life, prayers before God, that now they believe that they're dead, that they've lost all hope? I believe that sometimes that we look at things the wrong way. That sometimes when all hope is gone, that's when we begin to have an opportunity. God begins to have an opportunity to move because we're finally going to get self out of the way. But so many times when we see the death, can you imagine when Lazarus died, all the hope that Martha and Mary had was gone? Could you imagine what the disciples thought? Well, Lord, they come 2 days ago and told you that your friend was sick, and you just stayed right around here. You didn't even make an effort. We have to understand that sometimes our very hope, our very promises come to a place that seems impossible. that they even, I believe that they're even to most of the world, and even to Satan himself, they become dead. Satan thought he had Lazarus. That man's gone. And then when Jesus gets there, Martha comes up to him and says, Lord, if you would have just been here, it would have been all right. I've said it, and I would venture to say most of us have said it. Lord, if you would have wanted to, you could have healed him right then. Come on now. If you would have wanted to, God, you could have let conviction fall on them. They could have been saved right then. You could have done that miracle. You could have saved that. And sometimes because it's not in our eyes to see, the hope is gone. And I truly believe that the enemy has approached the Church of America and he's tried to put these blinders on that Martha had, that we are saying, Lord, we could have had a great move. We could have had all, we could have seen a great revival sweep our country, but now we are conceited. And then here comes Mary up. And she says the same thing. You see, they couldn't get their eyes off the tomb. All they could see was the tomb. All they could see was that was their brother was dead. They didn't understand the resurrection was standing next to them. They couldn't understand that all they could see there was the tomb. I believe sometimes we get our eyes on the circumstances. And all we can see is there's no hope. That it's gone. And it can't be. There's people that's given up on their children. Governments gave up on them. They've given up on them. Everybody's given up on them. God hasn't. God hasn't. I'll never forget a vision I had when I first started preaching. God let me have this vision. I guess it's a vision. You could call it a dream. I get confused on them. I don't know if there's, I guess being a young man, it was a vision. I don't know. But anyways, it was something. And I still remember it. And I was sitting on this bank, beautiful bank. It was just this level. And then it was all I could see was darkness. I could hear people moaning, crying. I could hear people weeping, the awfulest agony. And I looked around me on both sides, and people was just walking right up and into this darkness. And I was standing there. Anybody know what a cane pole is? You know, remember the old cane poles? I had a cane pole in my hand. And the Lord kept speaking to me, or I said the Lord, an angel, ever who it was, the voice kept saying, they're not gone until they take their last breath. Until the last breath is gone, there's hope. And every now and then, I would get a hold of one just as they walked over, and I would yank them back. And the Lord said, there's hope as long as there's breath. You see, we give up sometimes. God's saying, there's hope out there. There's hope out there if we can reach to it. And so there was Mary and Martha, and all they could see was the tomb. Jesus said, we've got to do something. I love this. Normally I preach this in about three messages, but we're going to give you the instant version, condensed. The first thing the Lord said is, roll back the stone. Somebody said, Lord, he stink of. You know why most of us ain't seeing our promises come back to life? We can't see beyond the tomb. We got to roll the stone back. You say, well, see, when they rolled the stone back, Mary and Martha could only see a dead Lazarus. Jesus could see what was about to happen. Roll the stone back. When you've rolled the stone in front of your promises, God can't move. They're dead. But when you begin to roll the stone back, And let me tell you something. You rolled it up there. You're going to roll it back. Do you hear me? You brought the doubt. You've lost sight of what God promised you. You're going to roll it back. And right there, before your eyes will be the promises that are dead. They may even stink and be, you say, they cannot come to pass. One of the greatest testimonies that I've ever read in my life was Sister Margie, and she bought about 50 of them, or maybe 100 of them. It was in a prayer book. It was a book on prayer, and it gave testimonies. And most of you, I'm sure, have read this, because I know I read it several times. But it's about a woman that God promised that she was a Christian woman. Her husband was a sinner. And God spoke to her and said, I'll save your husband. And he got deathly sick. And he put him in the hospital. Finally, the doctors come in and said, there's nothing else we can do. Your husband is dying within hours. And she said, no, he can't die, because God promised me he'd be saved, and he's a sinner. And the doctor, finally, he died. It was cold blue. The nurses run in there, and they said, pulled all the tubes out and said, your husband is dead. And she said, no, he's not. She said, God told me that he would be saved before he died. So the doctors told the nurses, said, leave her in there for a few hours with her husband, then we'll come and get him. A few hours went by, and they needed the room. They needed the bed. So they go in there, and they say, we've got to take husband. Said, you're not taking him. He's not dead. They said, no, he has no vital signs. He's brain dead. He has no heartbeat. He's dead. He said, no, God promised me. And the nurses went and told the doctor, said, we can't get him. She won't let us get him. And so the doctor said, well, give him a few more hours. Gave him a few more hours. Nurses went in there. She said, no, God promised me. Finally, the doctors come in there and said, we have got to take him. We need the space. And she said, no. He said, I'll give you another couple hours. Then we're coming one way to the other, and he's leaving this room. He said, but he's alive. And they said about an hour later, a nurse was walking by the room and heard a sneeze. And guess who sneezed? The man that they had pronounced dead, I believe it was 8 hours earlier. He sat up in bed, looked at his wife and said, I want to get saved. They began to put his clothes on him. He got dressed. The doctors rushed in. They said there was doctors and nurses rushed in there. And they said, we have got to examine you. We've got to find out what we missed. And she said, you've examined him for your last time. You tried to tell me he was dead. I said, we're leaving now. And he went down to a local church, gave his heart to the Lord. You want to know something? Sometimes your promises seem dead. Roll back the stone. Because there's still a God in heaven that keeps his word and will not break his word. And whatsoever God says, I believe he can do. Come on now. We begin, the stone has to be rolled away. Then, after the stones roll away, you know what Jesus told them? And you can read this in the latter part of the chapter. Jesus said, if thou will believe, all things are possible. All things. It's hard to believe sometimes. It's hard to believe that I truly believe that Claiborne County and the United States is on the verge of one of the greatest moves of God that we've ever seen. It may not be like the others. I don't believe it will be like the others. I believe there's a remnant of people in America that's going to get on fire for God and going to seek God, and great and mighty things are going to be done by a mighty army. But if you ask me, sometimes it's not a pretty picture, because I hear about churches with no pastors. I hear about 4,000 churches that have closed their doors and they're not open no more, or 2,000, I take it back, 2,000 this year, down a little bit, have closed their doors. But I'm going to tell you something. All God's doing is getting people ready. You may be sitting here right now and you have a need that's so far gone. You say, it just can't happen. I want to tell you something. If God says it, it's going to happen if you can believe.
Amen.
It's not always easy, but God will do it if thou can believe. The first church I ever pastored, in fact, we started it. I had had a dream. God showed me a vision. About 3 years before I ever went to this town, I didn't even know I'd ever be in this town. God showed me all these directions in this house. And I believe it was the assistant overseer of the Mountain Assembly was with me. And he said, oh, we want you to start church over here. And I said, would you turn down this road? And we turned down this road. And I said, turn up this road. We turned a few turns and we pulled in a driveway. He said, who's here? I said, God showed me these people in a vision 3 years ago. We got out of the car and this woman come and said, y'all are preachers. She said, God showed me you coming 3 years ago. God had showed her 3 years. She said, I just about gave up on you. And you pulled in my driveway. That's the God that we serve. He keeps his word exactly what he said. You may not think it sometimes. You may say it cannot happen, but I'm telling you, that God says it will happen. You just got to believe. I want to encourage you. Let this be a week of believing. Take the stone away of all them promises. Take the stone away. Uncover them. And begin to believe. Then here's what happens. There's the promise. And the Lord said, Lazarus, come forth. Now, the story, Lazarus, when the Lord said, Lazarus, come forth, Lazarus just come out of there. I've heard preachers that's a lot smarter than me say that this was tomb was actually down. They dug it down and said it was literally impossible for anyone to walk out of that with grave clothes on. Said, in fact, it would have been hard to get out of there. You had to bend over and just about crawl because it was like a hole. I don't know about none of that. I've never been to Israel. I don't know how they bury people. I just know one thing. I don't care how impossible it is. When the Lord says, come forth, it's coming forth. And so he said, come forth. I believe the Lord's telling us to come forth. I believe he's speaking to us that he's promised us, bring it forth. But here's the secret. After the Lord says for it to come forth, it's going to begin to move. And sometimes that's as far as we get. We come out of the tomb, and then a week later we put it back in the tomb. And we roll the stone back, and we pray the same old prayers, and we start doing the same old thing over and over again. But after the Lord spoke and Lazarus come out, you know what the Lord said? The Lord said, loose the man and turn him loose. Get him out of them grave clothes. I'm going to tell you tonight, if you will loose yourself, loose your promises. Get them out of the grave clothes. All that doubt and unbelief, push aside. Say, this is what God's promised me. This is what I stand on. And this is what I'm going to believe. Amen. And I believe God's going to do something. Amen. And it's possible for God to move on your behalf right now. Sometimes the picture's not always clear. And it's not always the way that we think it might happen. But when God speaks it, it's going to be that way. It's going to come to pass. I'll never forget the day I was laying on a mountain. I don't know, I guess it's called Pioneer Elk Valley. I don't even know the name of the coal mine, the strip job, but it was on top of that mountain. I'm laying in about 2 foot of water. My head had landed on an old dead tree. My bottom teeth was down my throat. Hours later, when they took x-rays, they could see teeth prints in my throat. The doctor said, "Something's happened to you." My nose was gone off my face, and I'm unconscious, and I could feel, as I would come to, I could feel blood gushing out. My tongue was stuck down my throat with a stick. It went through my lip and had my tongue pinned down my throat. I can remember the first time I come to, I worked my tongue loose, worked that through my skin right here. I was cut from here to here. And I thought, "Lord, I have no job. It's gone." I'll never forget. Three times in my life I've seen this figure. I don't think it was Satan, but he was a hierarchy in the kingdom of evil. It was a black man that stood mighty tall and had a big long black robe. And I recognized him from the time before I'd seen him. He began to laugh, like a laugh I never heard. And he just laughed and he said, "Preach now, preacher, preach." And he was mocking me. He said, "Let me hear you preach, preacher." Every time I'd come to, he was standing there, "Preach, preacher." I said, "Where's your God at right now? Where's that God you say can heal?" And he was saying, "Preach it." And I was trying to get the attention of the person with me. I couldn't talk. Too much blood, and couldn't talk, didn't have nothing to talk with. And so, as I come back to consciousness, one time I did this. I said, "I need prayer." That's what I was saying in my mind. All of a sudden, the Holy Ghost come down. And I mean it come down on that mountain. There was a hand out of heaven. I don't know if it was the Lord. I don't know if it's an angel. I don't know whose hand it was, but he grabbed my face and he tucked right here and he pulled every bone up. They began to pop and crack. I could hear them. And he placed my jaw right back in place. And he put my nose right back where it was. Placed it right there. And I stood up. The guy with me thought I lost my mind because I was dancing in the spirit. My hands towards heaven, saying, "What a mighty God. What a mighty God." Blood was still gushing out of my face, and my boots was full of blood, and I was saying, "What a mighty God." And that boy with me said, "What are we going to do? We're still stuck. We're on a mountain. There's nobody else up here." 7 miles away. You see, you may think your promise is dead. I say this, and as I say it right now, I know people will not believe this, but I've seen it. The man that was involved, that come up, that God did this to, he's dead. But all of a sudden, out of nowhere, appeared a preacher in an old pickup truck. And he had eyes, he was white as, he was about ready to pass out, his eyes was about that big. And he looked at me, and he said, "You'll not believe this." He said, "Just a second ago, I was driving into Elk Valley, which was 7 miles. He said, God put me right here." That fast. You say, "Oh, Pastor, I don't believe it." I was there. I heard his testimony. You say, "Oh, he made it up." That's the God that I serve. See, the devil thought he had my promise gone. And then come the part of the grave clothes. I had to loose myself. That was Friday. I went to church Friday night. The doctors told me, they said, "You'll not be able to eat nothing for a month." Said I could never be able to move my jaws for a month. They gave me all these straws to suck food in, and I was stitched up. I went to church that night, swelled, and I'm sure I looked deformed. And I stood in the prayer line and got prayed for. Brother Jack, you know, the youth camp in Ohio, we were going to open it the next day, Saturday. I was scheduled to be in Ohio the very next day, and then folks to be at a church at Saturday night. You know what? We went to Ohio. We had a dedication service. Was intended a dedication service in Ohio. That night I stood before about 300 or 400 people and gave a testimony of a mighty healing God. Amen. That's the God that I serve. The next morning was Sunday morning. I went to run the bus, and I was up getting ready to shave, and I said, God, if you truly heal me, why is all these stitches in me? The Lord said, pull them out. I began to just reach and pull them out. Big lines, this long, stitches. And I said, God, that doctor told me that he put some on the inside and covered them up, that they were dissolved, that he had to stitch it up in stages. I said, if you really heal me, bring them stitches out. About that time, I felt something. And I literally pulled the stitches out that was inside. Ate a T-bone steak at a Bonanza Steakhouse that Saturday night. They said I wouldn't be able to eat. I'm saying lucid. I stood there in front of the mirror that Sunday morning. I said, God, I have a scar from one end to the other. I said, I didn't think you left scars when you healed. I'll never forget this. I can't say if it's an angel or what, but ever who was ministering to me that morning said, if you won't, I'll take that scar away from you right now, and you'll never have it. Or he said, I'll leave it on your face, and every time you shave every morning, you'll remember to give me praise for what I've done. And I thought for a long time, because I was still single. I was looking for a wife, you know. I didn't want a scar. But you know what? After about 15 minutes of being in the presence of the Lord, I said, God, if that will let me remember to give you praise for the rest of my life, I want the scar. Never went back to another doctor. God healed me then, immediately. You see, I had to loose myself from it. If I would have listened to the doctors, I would have laid in bed for 30 days, sucked on a straw. I'm not saying doctors give bad advice. I'm saying this would work for me. What would have happened? When we begin to pull it off, I'm going to close. When we begin to loose ourselves from the bondage that we've allowed ourselves to be placed around us, then, God, that's when Lazarus was truly healed. It's when they pulled the drape clothes off, they seen a live Lazarus. If they had left him on, it would have been so much doubt and unbelief. I don't know how long Lazarus would have made it. You ever heard the story, and I'm sure you've seen the tape. I know I have a copy somewhere if you haven't seen it, if I can find it. Of the man, and I'm closing with this, that had got killed in a car accident in Africa. And they took him and they had him at the funeral home halfway done what they were going to do. The wife found out that he was dead, went and got him. Said no. And what's that guy, Bernhard Bunke, and they were having a revival. And the woman took him and stuck her husband in the basement, dead. And they come up and told the preachers, and I guess I heard them say, the preacher said, well, what were we going to do? We just kept on having service, you know. And somewhere along in the middle of that service, somebody walked up the stairs. You say, God doesn't do that no more. I don't know how impossible your vision or your promises God give you is, but I think it's time that we take off the drape clothes and we begin to stand up and say, my God is a miracle worker. Can somebody give the Lord a clap of worship this evening? My God is a miracle working God. He's able. I don't know what you may have need of tonight. And you may say, Pastor, there just ain't many here. Let's just go on. I'm going to say this because I have seen more miracles. I'm not saying it because there's a few of us. I have seen more divine miracles take place in these kind of services than I ever have in any revival service. And I've seen miracles. I've seen cancer fall off people. I've seen blinded eyes open in services where just a few showed up. God moved. I told you just the other night about Ralph Lay. It was about like this on Thursday night. I was dismissing. Brother Ralph, first time at the church, he raised a hand and said, I come to be healed. And God healed him of his sugar. And he had it bad. I don't know how many shots he took a day, but it was way up there. He had it terrible. He just quit them all. His wife and family called me. They said, what'd you do to him? I said, I just prayed for him. And I believed with them. Because they was worried about him. And I said, you don't have to worry. God told him he's healed, he's healed. Was the service just like this? I truly believe that God's able to do a miracle right now. I don't know what your miracle might be. He's able to minister to that need right now. He's able. Why every head is bowed. Heavenly Father, Lord, I know that you have blessed me in my life to see multitudes and multitudes of miracles. And Lord, I know that you're the same today as you have always been, that you're a never-changing God. When you spoke to Lazarus and you said, come forth, you're the same today as you was then. And Lord, I may have a lot of my promises I've placed in the tomb and I've wrapped them. Put the stone up there and I've wrapped them in grave clothes. I've lost my hope. God, I've uncovered them tonight. I've rolled the stone away. I've taken the grave clothes off. Lord, because I know that you're a miracle worker right now. I know that sometimes, Lord, when it seems like they're dead, that all around us want us to give up. I can hear the devil laughing at many saying, I told you this wouldn't work. I remember that. Lord, I remember the very moment that you showed up on the scene. I remember the strength that come into my body, the shaking of the whole ground. You're a mighty God. Lord, I pray right now, if there's anyone in this building that needs a divine healing, that needs a divine touch in their life somewhere, Lord, anyone that may hear this on the internet or on a CD at this very moment, Father, I pray right now. Can we stand to our feet if you would? Hallelujah.